Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Barrow Hill Roundhouse near Chesterfield in Derbyshire. My name is Chris Milner and for the next 4 days I shall be winding down as editor of Railway Magazine, ready to hand over to my colleague Paul Bickerdyke, who will be taking on the editorship. You're welcome to it, Paul.
Thanks, Chris.
So, are you looking forward to the challenge?
Oh, very much so, yeah. I mean, Railway Magazine is the top magazine, so I'm really looking forward to getting stuck in and carrying on your good work.
Well, a lot of my good work does stem from my predecessor, Nick Pygott, admittedly, but I think the magazine has set a standard that everybody likes to try and adhere to, and the readers know what we like, and we know what they like, so we obviously try and give them, you know, a dose of that every month.
Yeah, because it's a great mix of everything, really, isn't it? There's steam, diesel, electric, mainline,
yeah,
preservation,
trams,
narrow gauge,
heritage trams, everything. Narrow gauge, yeah, it's a very, very eclectic mix, isn't it, you know, all the way across.
So which was your first issue as editor?
My first issue as editor was this one, October 2015, strangely enough, which obviously featured a gathering at Barrow Hill Roundhouse, here where we had
very appropriate
Duchess of Sutherland as one of the star engines. So it's quite interesting that we've actually chosen to come back here that all these years after my first issue. So
what do you remember about putting that issue together?
Slightly frantic, I think, because I'd never signed off a magazine before. You know, you're always worried about whether you've left some X's somewhere in a caption that you mean to go back and fill later, whether you've got a mistake somewhere, and our readers are very, very good at spotting mistakes. You know, we might know a lot, but you know, there's people out there that know just a little bit more occasionally, and you know, you do get caught out.
Yeah, we've got very knowledgeable readers.
Yeah, you can't know everything, of course. I think the fact that leading up to this issue, I knew 3 or 4 months in advance I was going to be taking over, so at least I've got time to plan and sort of get in there some of the features that I wanted to, like rebirth of a big boy, which was a feature that obviously was about the big American steam locomotive, and the opening of the Hitachi factory at County Durham. Yeah. You know, again, another very, very big story to sort of kick off, and it was very pleasing to actually get these sort of big key stories in my first issue. And we've gone on from there, and obviously the royal opening for the Borders Railway, which was another massive £300 million project that you know, as people criticised it at the time, saying no, it won't pay, but it's obviously been a fantastic success.
Amazing, that was six years ago.
Yeah.
Time flies, isn't it?
It does, yes.
So we got a selection of magazines from over the years. Here's a copy of issue one. We've changed a lot in format since then. We've got bigger.
It's got bigger,
more pages.
Yes. More pages, more pictures.
Bigger in size. But kind of essentially the same in some ways. There's a whole mixture in there of news and features and interviews. And that's very much something we still do now, isn't it?
I think one of the things where the magazine has changed is in the early years, up until the 20s, they seemed to focus a lot on personalities within railway companies and focus on what the railway companies were doing. There were some sections called that. Where we seem to have gone a bit obviously down the news road, and we've got more news snippets and things like that, because there is a lot more happening. I mean, I remember reading Railway Magazine as a youngster when it was sort of this format in the 70s, you know, with that style cover. And, you know, that's really when I really became interested in it. And that's 1999.
That's kind of where I came in. Well, that's a little bit after I started.
Yeah.
I started as a reader in the early 80s, so just slightly before this one.
Yeah. You see, I'd been working on the magazine 9 years by that time. With Pete Kelly and then later Nick. And again, we saw a lot of changes over that 9 years, because by this time the internet had started to really develop. When I started in 1990, there was only one computer in the office, and that was used for doing letters to readers. Wasn't used for anything else. I mean, it just sounds crazy now. I came from a computer background, which is another reason I think why Pete recruited me, because he could see it was going down the computer route and he wanted somebody who knew what they were doing. But at the time, we would type out our stories and print them out on a dot matrix printer, if you can remember those.
Oh, yeah.
Pete would then go through it, and then he would put all these subbing marks on and change, you know, to get it to style. And then what we would then do, what I would do then, is incorporate his amendments into a file, and then that file or the disk, a little 3 1/4 floppy disk, was then sent off to the typesetters.
Right.
We would get back what were called galley proofs, which are long strips of the text with all the headlines in and subheads and things like that. And we'd got layout sheets, and these were sort of, I don't know, A2 size layout sheets with a complete grid of the magazine on. And we used to cut these galley strips up and use Prit and stick them on.
Yeah, cut and paste, that's where those
terms come absolutely.
From.
And it seems incredible that we've gone from that in 30 years to the fact that we can take a picture today, we can email it to the office, and it can be in the page, you know, within minutes. And it's just it's certainly made our job a lot simpler.
Yeah, definitely.
Delve into the world's most fascinating rail stories of the In Training podcast.
A Confederate veteran at the event compared the actual explosion to a battle.
They thought there could be like hundreds of millions of pounds worth of gold or something in this train.
George Parker has re-entered the carriage and shot William Pearson.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Just search for the In Training podcast.
And in terms of stories, well, that's 1990s issue. We were still in British Rail days then, weren't we?
Yes, we were, yes. I think. Were we? We were just coming out of it, weren't we? Privatisation was the mid-90s.
Mid-90s.
So we were just... But we were certainly in the train operating company era.
Yeah. Yeah, and then to come, well, up to date, now we're talking about Great British Railways.
Well, yes, this latest issue, the June issue, you know, two whacking great big stories in it, the Great British Railways announcement, and also the cracks that they found in the Hitachi trains, you know, the fantastic IETs that Hitachi have built, and they found these hairline cracks in them. If we look back in history, there are not a lot of fleets that have been introduced without faults and problems.
No.
People remember problems with Class 158s, where they would make a station stop and then the doors wouldn't close again, and nobody could get the doors closed, and they ended up terminating trains.
Yes. Pacers are another classic.
Pacers, yeah.
Everybody hated Pacers, but...
And all the problems they had, even in steam days, with the Bully Pacifics as well. So, you know, what we've experienced, although it's quite significant and it's quite disruptive, is not new. But, you know, you would think that the chances of it happening now are obviously a lot lesser.
Yes, yes, and we've probably covered it all in these near 125 years of issues, haven't we?
Yeah. Yes, 1,400 and something issues over the years, yes. So, as the incoming editor, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I mean, you can't make it any better, really. It's I'll be looking to continue the mixture that we already have of covering everything, steam, diesel, electric. Our readers love the comprehensive coverage that we have, be a mix of news and nostalgia,
And I think that's the challenge, isn't it? He's getting that balance, getting that mix. And and I think the fact that we're supported by a good team and an expert band of authors who come up with some of the ideas for these features really helps.
Yeah, and not for nothing, we're known as the Journal of Record.
Yes.
Again, because of we go back 125 years.
Yeah.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.